Hey everyone, how's it going? Am I live? Everyone hear me? I'm figuring from something that I heard just before that a few people got lost trying to find this room that I might just give it another minute or so just to make sure the right people come their way in here. And hold on, door shutting. Well, done. Right, we're starting. Might as well. Yep. Cool. Whoa. Is there a chance you can just... Wait, I can't see it. I think I'm getting pretty blinded up here. Hi, everyone. I'm Malcolm from... I better go on to the next one. Welcome along to my session today. And thanks for coming along as well. I actually saw that there's some pretty cool sessions on about now. And for you guys to come along to this one sort of makes me feel like, okay, cool. Maybe I've got something to offer you guys. Hopefully we're running an hour. I've got quite a few things I want to show you and quite a few things to play around with. Before lunch, I was hoping to build a quick intro slide. I'm not very good at talking about me, but there's a few of you in the room who already know me. Give you the lowdown. I've been working in IT for about 21 years. For the last 10 years, I've been in MCT with Althaus Computer Training. And amongst a lot of the topics I teach is this one, and that's why I chose it. I teach a few other things as well, like I teach a wee bit of stuff around the Office 365. It's one of my sort of main things that I teach. And hello to anyone if you're coming on the course in 2 weeks' time up here at Auckland at Althaus, because, yep, that's me. If you are, make yourself known to me, because I can get you to do some homework before you come on the course in 2 weeks. That'd be great. There's always homework to do. A little bit about why I chose this particular topic before I get into all my intro slides and all that sort of stuff. Look, I've been teaching server products for, as I say, for about the last 10 years. And one of the things that strikes me is that I come across this is content similar to what we've got in our 412 course. Now that course is labeled Advanced Features of Server 2012 R2. Now automatically that should make this a 300 level thing, right? So it should be right up here. And it's actually kind of interesting because a lot of what we're going to look at right now is actually really simple stuff that you can put into your domain and use straight off the bat. And you don't need to use fancy, you know, third-party tools and all that sort of stuff to lock down documents. And the general feedback is, I didn't know Windows could do that. That's a real common one, and I'm surprised by that when I teach it. And then afterwards, most people are like, well, I didn't actually realize it would be that easy. Now, sure, what I'm going to show you, and my idea is to just loosen the topic back a little bit. So setting the scene, the sort of why I'm delivering this is basically to put it out there that, you know, in this day and age, it's not too uncommon to hear some kind of a press release or go onto like a web a mail news service online and read that somebody's leaked some email about some details, and somebody's, instead of listening to the little disclaimer at the bottom that says, if you've received this in error, please delete. Instead, people go and forward that email onto the press, and then the press, it all becomes a big bit of a storm. So the idea here, in a time of accidentally emailed documents and other losses of data, here's a bit of a dive into the restrictions that can be put onto file access and employing both the on-premise RMS solution using AD RMS, which will probably be about 60% of today, and then looking at the basic Azure RMS stuff that's offered through the Office 365 suite. Okay, so we'll just have a look at that. Now I've got some PowerShell scripts to show you. If you want them afterwards, you can more than happy to please sing out and look at that, James Finley from Althaus late. Hi, James. All right, so the cool thing in here, when we get into the Azure stuff, you'll actually see some pretty cool things, and all of you will be able to have a look at my phone from there and read the emails that I've locked, and yeah, that'll be great. So I did some cunning stuff at lunchtime with a friend of mine, Daniel, who's in here as well, so very, very cool. The outcomes at the end of this is basically, it's a 200 level session. Okay, I'm not going to go straight deeping into all the certificate type stuff that we can do behind the scenes. It is a multi-level, multi-faceted tool. So by using ADRMS, there's a whole lot of extra depth I could add to this. But the idea is just to simplify the process, make sure that when you walk out of here, you're like, hey, you know, I'm going to go back and try and set up ADRMS in my environment. Whether that's in a test environment or you're actually going to do it in your live environment and that kind of stuff. So pretty cool. I paralleled a company when I was initially writing this, and then I got a little bit of a slap on the wrist from a friend of mine about saying, you know what, you probably shouldn't do that, it's too close to reality. So instead, I came up with this story here. Now what we've got is we've got Francis, who works as a CIO for a large bicycle manufacturing company. For those of you who actually know me, you know that bikes are pretty much in my blood, so that's why I chose this one. Recently, there have been concerns owing to leaked emails and design documentation. Now, it's a hard one to ask people. Has anyone had those people go, actually, I've emailed out stuff and I shouldn't have. Can you get that email back for me? How many of you have had staff ask you that question? Yeah, see, there's a few hands up around the place. And of course, what we want to be able to say to that user is, you know what, it doesn't matter. If you've emailed it out, don't worry. And they'll be like, but why? Well, because you protected it. And then they go, oh, actually, I forgot to apply the template. Then you've got issues, right? So we'll have a look at how that works. All right, so basically the CEO wants that stopped easiest and as quick as possible. So data breaches have occurred in emails. It's been sent out, autocomplete addressing. I did that once. I had a colleague called Mark, he was English. I also had a client who was Mark and he was English. And I passed some derogatory pommy comment against Mark, went to the wrong one. It was okay, because we're all friends, but yeah, a bit weird, a bit awkward. So what we want to do is stop this data. If it's pulled away from our network, we want to try and lock it down so that it's not picked up. And of course, the CEO just wants it fixed as fast as possible and for as little money as possible. You all with me on that one? Does it seem a familiar scenario? Something that you all want to do? You know, I was talking to this guy over here, Mark, earlier on. That's another Mark. And just saying that, you know, it's one of those things. People, who else has anyone here tried it and sort of not got there quite right? That's the question I want to throw out there. Yeah? Cool. That's good to know. All right, so Francis needs to come up with a solution to get back on charge of this. And we come up with RMS. So what is RMS? It's a form of information rights management. It's a role that's added to a server in your server environment, in your Windows environment. Hey, Paul, how's it going? That's all right, we'll let you in. We'll still let you in. Okay, it uses encryption and enriched document protection. So essentially what we're doing was we were going a little bit past the NTFS type permissions that we could have on a document. Okay, what we're actually looking at is we're getting into the point where person could have a Word document open, and you know with NTFS permissions it could just be read-only. So they open up that Word document and read-only, Control A, Control C, Control N, save it onto a USB key, and out they go. Alright? But what we can actually do with RMS is we can lock it down so that they can only view. There's no copying, there's no selecting, there's nothing. And as my demonstrations later on will point out to you, we can't even take a screenshot. So anybody who's going to be at their desk is going to be sitting back like this with their phone going, just take a photo of that page, scroll up, take a photo of the next page. And I think that'll start to look pretty obvious in the workplace if someone's taking photographs of their computer screens. And in some places, it's going to look pretty obvious if they've got got their phone with them at their desk. Cool. So what does it do? Well, it protects things as well, in transit and at rest. So the content's sitting on a file server somewhere, it's protected. You're emailing it, as I'll demonstrate later on, with the Azure RMS protection. It's protected. Sound good? Yeah. You can be vocal. I like a bit of feedback. Yeah. See, one of the things that's a bit different from my normal day-to-day job is, yeah, I teach people all day. And I'm used to, in a classroom environment, all the nice feedback in a quiet room. It's like, what do I do? All right, so here's the stuff. What are its component parts? These are all the elements that make it up, okay? You've got to have an 80 RMS server. Well, that's fair enough. In my demonstration in a moment, you'll see that I've got a server that's got nothing else on it but that role installed. It has to be an AD member. Reason for this is it's going to pick up accounts such as, a thing we'll talk about later on, AD super users. Okay, AD RMS super users. It's going to pick those up. It's got a service account that it's got to use to manage RMS. So you've got to have that, you know, that's why it's not a standalone server. You've got to have an RMS client, and what that means is the RMS software. So we've got Vista. Anyone still? Yeah. In a day we were talking about Windows 10 a lot. Just wondering if anyone's still got that. Okay. Windows 7, Windows 8 and 8.1, and Windows 10, of course. And my demonstration is going to be using Windows 10 with Office 2013. And amongst all of those operating systems, then we have the different versions of Office that'll work. Pretty much you're looking Office 2007 onwards. So it's that newer generation of Office onwards that it'll work for. It also works in Exchange and Outlook scenarios. It works in SharePoint scenarios, which I know one fellow here is at least looking at the SharePoint scenario on that. And also, of course, Office 365, which is the last part of the demonstration, so we'll get into that as well. So unfortunately, I have to sort of veer into a sort of 300 level area sort of thing just to talk about what actually happens in here. So there's that awful C word. I know I've asked this over the last, you know, yesterday I was delivering some exam crams and certificates seem to intimidate people. And I find that, you know, if you step back and have a look at the certificate process, it's not that daunting. But as we're looking at the process for ADRMS, we're looking at having a server licensor certificate. Now, what this does is it controls all the certificates that are involved in the RMS process. It also controls all of the licenses that are involved in RMS, and it controls the rights templates. Now, we'll talk a little bit more about the rights templates in a little moment, but the rights templates are what we put on and we publish, and we say, you know what, that's a read-only template, and so we have to have a certificate that controls that. We have to have the ADRMS certificate. Okay. I'm simplifying this demonstration back a wee bit. I'm not going to be using SSL for my certificates in this case. We're just going to be doing an HTTP source as the RMS server, but anyway. The other things that we have in here is we've got to have a rights account certificate that's basically issued to the AD users. And what that enables it to do is that the AD users sit there and say, hey, I want to protect this content. Can I please have that? And it says, yes, here you go. You can protect your document. And you'll also notice there that the cool thing about the rights account certificate is that it supports federation. It also supports the live ID, Microsoft account, or you know these words for our online account name. And it also has a client licensor certificate, which means if you're not connected to the network, you're actually still able to protect your documents while they're on your client machine. So, you know, for example, myself, I'm online, offline a lot with my laptop. So yeah, that's one of the things to be aware of. Alrighty, so what we have here is publishing licenses. Works out the rights on the document that's been secured. And we also have another thing here called an end user license, which is issued for each document. So we turn around and we say, okay, here's a new document, what are we going to do with that? Bless you. Nice big sneeze, we'll just embarrass Paul there. Yeah, nah, it's not 300 stuff. All right, so that's the end user licenses in place. And so what this means is that when our Joe blogs are sitting down there and they're about to protect their documents, this is the stuff that affects them. And, you know, what would a PowerPoint presentation be without some kind of a snazzy sort of a animation coming up and an animation slide? So this is the one that sort of, hopefully it doesn't baffle everything too much. What we're going to have a look at is the actual process when somebody goes through and says, actually, I want to protect this document. So what we'll see first of all is that the user adds rights protection. Now in a subsequent demo, I'm going to show you this working. So we'll talk through a few things. I'll show you, I'm hoping to keep it fairly demo rich. The thing that happens after that is that the server issues the client license certificate saying, yep, I'm the guy in charge of that. I will give you the certificate for that. The user then gets the conditions and the rights that are applied to that document. After that, the application encrypts with a symmetric key. The symmetric key is encrypted with the server's private key. The application at the other guy turns around and says, well, I'd like to get that, please. So the application requests the server the user license. The server issues that license. Server decrypts its private key. It's getting messy, eh? And finally, as the server re-encrypts it with a symmetric key, and everyone's able to go and share that. I'll wait till that guy takes the photo. Now the cool thing about all these is just as a reminder, if you go to Channel 9 after the presentations, you're basically able to download anybody's presentations and stuff that happen. So how's that so far? It's a lot going on, but what it does mean is that that document can be protected. And you know, within internal networks, that protection's important as well, between different sets of user groups. Okay. So we have multiple ways of installing and configuring and making this all work. We can install for multiple forests and get the support for multiple forests. We can install it in an extranet situation where we're doing some internal and external sharing. We can share it for ADFS. Okay. Who in here is comfortable with ADFS? Is anyone? Quick show of hands. Yeah, ADFS is up there. Yeah, excellent. Is that ADFS with 365 or just ADFS between organizations? 365? Cool. Between organizations? Cool. Okay. And we can install it in a single forest. Now, for my demonstrations that we're about to go and have, look, I'm about to go and open up a couple of servers, have a bit of faff around. I'm only going for a single forest situation. The reason being that the other situations, they get quite complicated. We're just going to stick with a very nice, easy, simple demonstration to come through here. And for that, what you'll notice is that I have a demo running the AD RMS configuration wizard, which, all going well, should already be ready to go like that. How's that? I figure the resolution should be okay. We played around before the session just to get the resolution just right so you guys could see what was going on here. Now, I will fill you in with some details here. Okay. One of the things I need to let you know is I've already pre-staged the AD RMS add roles. Can anyone put your hand up if you've never added a role to a server before? Go! Yeah, so I figured you didn't need to watch me step through going add role next, and all that kind of stuff, so that's cool. The next step here is that we actually have to go through and go and configure AD RMS to work, point out where it's going to go, add the user accounts and all that sort of stuff that it's going to go ahead and use. Now, as a background, I've created an AD, and it's probably worth showing you just so you can see what's going on here. So I'm on my DC now. And I know I always hassle people about using Active Directory users and computers and saying you should be using, you know, Admin Center. And then every demonstration I do, I always go off into Active Directory users and computers, but here we go. Right, so just to give you an idea what we have floating around in here, I've already created a service account to act on behalf of the ADRMS service, so that's saving a bit of time there. Also, within bicycles.local in here and within IT, I've created a group here for ADRMS super users. Now, I'm pointing that out now because later on that'll become kind of important. They're your rescue agents if everything goes wrong, and they're quite useful. All right, so you'll notice up here in the Server Manager dashboard, I have myself a little warning sign, and this warning is saying, hey, you've got some more stuff to do for Active Directory Rights Management. So what I'm going to do here is perform the additional configuration. Now, this installation was done locally onto the server, so that's a bicycle server at my domain. Now, it says all the normal blurb. Is that okay? Is that clear enough for you guys to read? It's a bit fuzzy, isn't it? Let's just say it's telling you it's about to install Active Directory Rights Management Services. The next question that I get here is, if I was part of, this was going over two or three machines, it would be asking, do I want to go install, add to an existing AD RMS root cluster, or do I want to start again from fresh? And what I'm going to do in this particular case, I'm going to start from fresh with a new one because I don't have any other option. A very important question here. What do I want to do with the database? So the database keeps a track of all the information that's been locked down and all that kind of stuff, and it says, what do you want to do with it? Well, I'm going to do something a little bit naughty. I wouldn't expect you guys to do this in your environment, but I'm going to get it to use Windows internal database just for the purpose of this demonstration. Obviously, set up a SQL server that you can install this stuff on, you'll be a whole lot better off. Next one says, what account do you want to use to manage it? Well, I think we all know who I'm going to use there. ADRMS service. I have to sound that out because I keep forgetting the second S every time I've gone through that. Password's easy enough. Anyone who's been on a Microsoft course will know PA dollar dollar. I see, I knew I'd get that wrong. Let's go and have another look. What have I done? Two S's? D-I-C-E. Cool. That's the service account I wanted. Now, at this point, I get asked what cryptographic mode I'm going to go. For the rest of this, I'm pretty much going to stick with the defaults. Okay, so it's going to ask if I want to use 2048-bit or 1024. What do I want to do with the cluster storage key? And in this case, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get RMS to manage the cluster key for itself. Okay. And a password. Well, that's always there. What do you think I'm doing that for? Why am I putting in one for the cluster key password? What could potentially go wrong? You're about to say something, I saw. No? Yeah, the answer there was somebody might steal the key. So you want to make sure that you can protect things here. All right, now as I mentioned earlier on, I'm not going to be using, once I get past this part, it's going to ask where is it going to put the website. The website is the element that fishes up and dishes out the templates and that kind of stuff and redirects that protected mode into our clients. And so the thing here is I'm going to use the default website on the machine here. And I'm also going to have to go off and do a little bit of IIS config in a moment. It's one of those things, in so many things I teach, I must let you know, IIS is one of those tools you want to learn a little bit about. First thing is site bindings. You want to learn a little bit more about that if you don't know enough already. You want to know how to do authentication modes and that kind of stuff. And particularly what I'm going to do is, in a moment, is authentication mode. Okay, here's the bit that everyone's going to cringe at. I'm not going to use HTTPS for this. I'm just going to use a simple HTTP. And that's called ADRMS dot bicycles dot local. If I'm putting that in, what else have I had to create somewhere so that that's going to work? A DNS record, yeah. So I've got an A record somewhere. Now here's how foolish I am. I was sitting down doing this demo for myself last week. As all us presenters do, we work through our demo six times. I couldn't work out what I'd done wrong. I put a hyphen in the DNS record, AD-RMS, and nothing would work, no matter how hard I tried. As I say, I'm just going to nix through the rest of these. The license certificate will be called bicycle server. The service connection point, it'll register that now, and then I go through confirmation and I can install that. And basically, hey presto, that's going to go off and do its thing. This is a bit where I have a wee bit of like what radio people call dead air, because I've got to wait for that to finish, and then what I'm going to go over is go over into IIS and allow the IIS, I've got to tweak a couple of things on the default website and also on the licensing website, so just give me half a tick on that. Have a different time. It always feels faster when you do it than when there's a crowd. Is everyone with me so far on that though? That's all pretty straightforward? Yeah? It's, you know, the few head nods that I've got around there, that's kind of what I get when I teach this course, you know, teach this as part of our standard courses. It's like, it's just there, you know, it's yeah, simple. All right, perhaps. What have I got that's coming up on the next one over there? Oh, come on. That's taking a little bit longer than I thought, but that's all right. Let's get back into this for now. I'm assuming that's still installing itself. Right, this, I'll come back to that in a moment, and... Oh, no. I'll come back to it now. Okay, so basically I now get the confirmation just as he threatened to walk away from it. Eh? It always, I was busy. Right, so what I'm going to do here, I'm going to close this down, and I just need to go and allow any user to be able to touch and get into my right server. So what I'm going to do is actually allow anonymous access into the website where all this information is stored. Okay, so I'm just going to go into Tools and go into IIS. Now, whilst I'm in here, pretty straightforward thing to do here. Always with the message. Okay, I'm going to come into sites. Now, the first one that I've got to do is, of course, is I've got this guy here, which is the content management. Okay. So, authentication with a double click, anonymous authentication, enable. Now, the other one that I need to do that to, of course, which is the most important one, is actually the licensing. Because if they can't see the licensing, then, of course, it will lock down what's going on there. So I can click into licensing. And double click on authentication again, anonymous authentication, enable. Done. Okay, one of the things I don't like about that wizard is there's one thing it didn't tell you that we have to do next. That's a real simple thing. We tell our users all the time, oh, did you log off and log back on again? So what we need to do is we need to sign out of our server and then re-sign back in. Tripped myself up with that one a handful over the last while too. Cool. Got our fingers. All right, now that I've done that, Tools, Active Directory Rights Management, and we're away. Basically from now on, users can go through and start to protect documents. How was that? Surely that word gets a round of applause, right? That's all set up. It's all good to go. And then there's still stony silence. Hey, it's a demo that worked, right? So that's got to count for something. All right, okay, so let's move on to this again. So the business end of applying the content protection. Once we've gone ahead and done this, we can now go about setting forward and saying, well, what do we want to lock down? How do we want to lock things down? Who's going to be able to lock things down? Okay, so templates, who can do what? Well, this is a massive list of things. look at all the options that we have for protecting the content that are stored on our file servers. We can grant people full control, save. We can lock them down from forwarding. That's really great. You know, you'll see later on, I really take the fun out of myself when I go through. Allowing macros. Yeah? There's a few people in this room that I've taught, and they've been horrified when I've said, you know, I've said to them all, what kind of a threat is a Word document? And people go, Word documents aren't threats. And you go, really? Watch this macro. Auto run. Auto U. Select that drive, delete everything. And if you haven't seen that, look up kill in VBA for Excel or Word. So macros are nasty. Okay? So what we've got to have a look at now is, of course, a demonstration of how do we go through and create an RMS template. So once we've got one in place, what do we do and how do we make it all work? So back into this guy over here. All right. So I'm just going to widen this panel up here a wee bit. Obviously down the left-hand side there on the details pane, we've got a thing here called Rights Policy Templates. Okay. And an option down here is either I can right-click, of course, and go for any of those options, but I'm going to go down here and say create distributed rights policy template. It's an odd one here, but what we can do is we can do language selection, and unfortunately we have to go through and do that as a default. So I'm going to come through here, and oddly enough, thought I might go for English and New Zealand, just just for giggles. Okay, I'll call it now name for the template, designers only. DESIGNERS only. And the description, this locks documents for designers only. Hopefully that's all spelt right, because I can hardly read it myself. I think docutems, but that'll work. Okay, moving on to the next one. What kind of rights do I want them to have, and what user groups do I want to have here? So what I have actually done, and one of the things to note about this is it's actually controlled by email address. So how many of you in your AD have got email addresses stored in AD? Quick show of hands. How many people are there? So it's about 80%, you know. And at various presentations along the way, you learn, you know, there's a lot missing. AD, you know, enrich it. Enrich your own AD, add more details. And one of the things you want to have at least is an email address. I have a security group called Designers, and they are at bicycles.local. Let's see if that works. All right. And what do I want them to be able to do? Well, let's give them full control. Okay. You'll notice here as well that we can actually do rights request URLs. What that means is if someone goes ahead to get the document, they think they should be able to get it, they can't, we can forward them to a page which will ask them if you want. You also notice there as well, grant the owner full content can write without expiration, which is quite cool. The next step I have here is saying we'll specify the expiration policy. I'm actually going to expire the certificates after a number of days. I mean, I can put in 7 here. If I turn on numlock, I can put in a 7. And I can do that here as well, chuck in a 7, we're away laughing, bless you again, and choose next. And that's pretty much it. I've got some other conditions I can apply here. Explore those yourselves while you're messing around with this. It's really good. I encourage you, go back to work, mess around with it. Build a couple of servers, it won't take long to do it. All right, and what I'm just going to do here is just finish, because that's basically all I need to do to make this work. Now, the other thing I want to be able to do is put the template into a location where all of my users can see it. So quite craftily, I've got a share set up on the server across the domain. So I'm just going to change where that policy sits, and I'm going to tell it to enable it to come into here, and it's going to go to BICYCLES server RMS templates. Just to make sure I've got that right. Make sure that's location. Wouldn't you know it, I've got a typo in there somewhere. It's a bit of a nuisance. RMS templates, that'll do. Okay, so I don't have permission to it, but that's fine. Cool. Choose OK. Done. So far, so good. Template stored off somewhere. Just to show you what it looks like. It sits here. It sits in RMS templates. It's called designers only. It's an XML file. So that's worked. That's all good. Easy. So that's creating a template. Now you saw that in that I could choose any of those options I wanted to do. It's very easy to lock down, as you saw from that last slide. Any of those options could have been set at that point. But I decided to just lock it so that they'll have full control and nobody else will have access. Excellent. Okay, we can do some things that are a little bit tricky here as well. We can manage some exceptions. Exclude particular users from granting access, exclude particular applications, and we can also do the lock box, which is about the private key and locking people out, so it's quite cool. I was going to demonstrate that, but I found that it just took too much time, so I'm going to move through that. All right, the other thing to think about is, what if users leave AD, there is rights management protected documentation, and you still need to get access to it? Okay, now that's going to happen, eh? You can see that happening. So, what we do there is we enable, you like that superhero? That's quite good, eh? So what we do is we enable the super users group. And that one's really, really easy, because all I do in here, all right, as I come into here, go into, where is the super user thing? One second. Would be the one, wouldn't it? There it is. Enable super users. And when that comes in, I go into the properties and I say I would like, and I'll just do a quick search in here, probably a little bit quicker for me. Fine now. And there's 80 RMS super users right there. Now in that, I've got a couple of IT people set in as that user. What that means is that no matter what, they'll be able to decrypt data that's floating around in there. So that's pretty easy, isn't it? Yeah, so far, so good. All right, so the next thing is, what happens to our users? What can they actually do here? So let's go ahead and explore a user going and actually applying RMS to content. Because so far it's all been a bit boring, it's all config. So let's actually see what happens. So I've got my two users here in Designer. So I've got Artie Sue and Artie Bob. And with that session type, I can't log in with that, but I can here. And Artie Sue's going to log in real quick. Okay. Just slow my typing down a bit, let that catch up. Yep. And nope. Thanks, everyone. Done. All right, so here. What's that? Illegal software. No, software that no matter how many times I've gone, because I'm snapshotting machines and rolling them back, it's ignoring the activation. Nicely spied, but yeah. All right, here's the cool thing. I can, I've heard that. So here underneath info for the document, protect document, you'll notice that what I've got down here is I've got restrict access and it says connect to rights management servers and templates. Now when I click on this in a second, I should, all going well, get prompted for security. Anyone have an idea why I'm getting asked for security there? It's not access to the share, but through the web. And what's happening is because it's not part of the intranet zone, it turns around and says, well, actually, I'm not sure about this site, you'll have to authenticate again. Who am I? Artie Sue, isn't it? Even though it's anonymous, it still will challenge me for that. And, are you sure about that? That's a bit of a pain in the butt. There we go, that's what I was after. Designers only. So what will happen now, so when I click on designers only, this locks the document for designers only. I can now go through, save this document. I'm going to browse to the computer. And I set up earlier on a map drive over here. And I'll just call it, that document name is fine. How's that? So far, so good? All right, flicking around up the top, view the permissions. All right, so we get this lockdown and it tells you what the user can do. And if you can see here, it says view, edit, copy, print, save, export, access the document programmatically, full control. Access the document programmatically, macros. Excellent stuff. That's pretty cool so far, right? So we'll get that out of the way. That document's fine. Could log off, could log on and show you that another designer has access, but I won't at this point. Now, the key. Who have we got logged on over here? Oh, that's that same one, so I want client 2. And that will tell me in a moment that it can't do it, but that's all right. Yes, I know, log out, come as a non-enhanced session, log in. So where's the logins you gotta wait for here? Let's have a look at this. Boom. You know, I'm hassling it about having to wait for logins, right? But you appreciate that I've just set this all up in about 20 minutes. An actual computer time is 20 minutes, less than 20 minutes, right? So, just saying. Look at this. Because this user's not a member of that group, this content could not be accessed using your current credentials. Do you want to use your Microsoft account to access the content? It's done. It's locked. That email, this particular document that's been written, I can't right-click and email it to anybody that I feel like. It's locked. Content done. Rights management secure. Yeah, that's what I reckon. All right, 20 minutes. 20 to 25 minutes to get that done. It's not that hard, hey? There are, and there's ways that you can explore it. As I say, at this point, it's just to get you known, this is how you can get it off the mark. But what you can do is you can actually build all your Word document templates and that sort of thing, and automatically have them assigned with that, so that when they, okay, you're launching a job review, right? Boom, that's done for that. It's design documentation, as I sort of alluded to. Francis is in my organization trying to stop that happening. Then that's the same idea. So, yeah, absolutely, yeah. Just craftiness. Hey, what's the one thing that's going to have to happen within your organization once you start using this, though? Starts with T, and my organization and James's do it pretty well. Training, yeah. You've got to apply the training to your users to make sure they're doing it, because the question by the guy down the end there, which was, you know, can you automatically apply the templates, the rights management all the time? Well, yes, but also increasing your user awareness and making them know that they can do this and they have to go to information and do that sort of stuff is pretty cool. So, how's that? Hey. There are ways around it. Like, this is all for, you know, my demo is based purely on Office. But if, as long as things like, I think you can get away with it with PDF, can interact with this as well. Aside from that, I'm not sure. That'd be on a per case basis and just have a bit of an explore. But yeah. Yeah, definitely on the PDF side of things. Yeah. And for those of you who have never met Paul before, Paul works for Microsoft in the space. Hi, everyone. No, he's definitely not tech. Shouldn't say that out loud. No, Paul's fine. All right, so that was applying RMS to content and that kind of stuff. All right, there are a few other things just to note as we go on with this, all right? So here's some, you know, I've got to bring in some of the best practice kind of ideas. So your database, if that gets blown up, what happens to all the protected content? Locked. All right, so that's pretty important. There's another little point in here. Backup. We've got two options: backup the entire database, or backup just the template database that's stored. You know, template data that's stored there, and make sure you document all of this. Now, as I do my little letters underneath, we're all a little guilty of being bad at that. But this is one of those things that, you know, you could potentially lock entire, you know, shares of lots and lots of data and be lost for most things. All right. We are able to, not exploring it in this session here, you are able to grant access to external organizations. So what we can do is we can bring in what are called trusted publishing domains. And that's how we get to share information between organizations and leave it locked down. And you'll notice that the three final things in that slide, Federation, Windows Live ID, and Microsoft Federation Gateway, all tools to enable you to be able to share that information around. So that's cool. So yeah, that's on-premise. Easy, right? Piece of cake, go and put a roll on. I'm assuming everyone should have a test environment. If you don't, you've got a machine with Windows 10, install Hyper-V, have a play. Build a couple of servers. I'll show you later on, but I do have information on what I did for this build in my blog, so that you can have a look at that and you can actually have a crack at replicating it yourself to see what goes on. Okay, do you see something fairly similar here? Azure RMS using Office 365. It protects sensitive data at rest and in transit. It's persistent. It's designed to work with Office 365, Exchange Online, and SharePoint Online. SharePoint Online, of course, for Rob over there. Hey. All right. There's stuff to think about in this, and it comes around with lots and lots of planning. Now, most of the stuff that you've got to look at around your planning is which security groups are going to be enabled to apply this stuff, what are your mail-enabled groups that are going to go through it, who's going to be in charge of the tenant key. Generally, your Office 365 global administrator should be there, but are you going to have a second global administrator who's going to be able to look after that as well? It's quite important, you know, you need that backup factor to make sure someone else can do it. What we need to do First of all, you've got to go off to the interweb and download the RMS PowerShell, AADRMM. AADRM, get rid of the extra M there. And you've also got to activate rights management in Office 365. That's pretty straightforward. And there are a number of steps here. So I'm going to go through a demo in a second. I'm going to show you some PowerShell scripts. Sorry, but again, they'll be available on my blog. And go through these things. It's essentially as simple as this. Somehow you've got to enable rights management. You enable rights management either through the admin console of Office 365, or you do it through PowerShell. Okay, so you just simply enable and you're away laughing. What we need to do next, if we're going to protect our emails, which is where this has got a really cool little thing on it, if we're going to protect our emails, we've got to start doing remote PowerShell sessions. Oh, God, I've just gone to 300 and 400 level. Paul's falling asleep. So the idea of remote PowerShell sessions, guys, remember that all of this stuff's happening in the cloud. It's not happening on a local server. So if you've never done a PowerShell session before, you know, get yourself, if you're in Auckland, get along to one of James's PowerShell courses, Wellington, mine, or have a look at it online, YouTube it. PowerShell sessions basically say, I'm going to run all of my commands, but I'm going to run them on that machine in that session. Okay? So we've got to connect to that, run the session. We've got to configure the location. Now, there are three, at the moment, three RMS locations, EU, AP, that's us, Asia Pacific, and NA for North America. Okay, so just be aware of those three locations. Then we've got to basically go through and set it all up and go for gold. So at this point, what I thought I'd do is do a demonstration of activating it. And for that, I need this. And my mate Daniel told me something today that I thought was really cool, so I'm going to try it right now. Windows, Shift, Right. Whoa! Isn't that cool? Throw it onto an extra monitor. See? It works well. All right, so here we're going to go. I'm going to sign into my Office 365 account. What I'm going to do is just be aware of this as well. If anyone's playing with Office 365, check that out. My own custom domain splash page. Pretty ugly, but it'll work. All right. Really? That's a good one. Let's try that one more time. It's lucky I've got the email saved that I sent myself, eh? If that failed, I'd be stuffed. All right, so into admin. Hopefully into admin. Don't let us down now, Office 365. Everyone's watching. Finally. Okay, it's pretty simple in here. Service settings through the Office 365 Admin Center, and down here we've got rights management. I'm going to go into rights management. It's kind of a double click. It's a bit of a faff, but once you get there, we'll see this come up. And it says rights management is activated. Now, what I will point out to you as well is that when I initially activated this, the name of my domain was actually tied to my old house ID. So actually, everything that you see from this point on is actually going to have old house on it, not my domain. And that's because the original certificates were built when Office 365 was, when I had it set up like that. So that was all that stuff. And in fact, over on the screen here, what I'll just do for now is get that fired up for now. All right, and let's look at some, I'm sure you can all read that well, and you'll be able to take that in easily, right? It's one of those things, I never know what resolution I'm going to get thrown out in front of me, so I always like to come in here after a while and just go and change up. Let's try that. Zoom screen, or I could just do that. I'm old school, man. This is how I do it. Alrighty, so the first thing that we need to do is, I just wanted to talk about PowerShell enabling Office 365. So the first thing you've got to be able to do, line three up there, is to be able to connect to the MSOL service, all right? And what I've got is I've got a simple thing to go and get the credential, and then I can apply that across. And essentially all this top bit of code here does, and this will all be available on my blog, is to connect, get the credential, import the AADRM module, which you've already installed from, you know, off the cloud, and then enable AADRM. That's just the same as me going into the console, going to admin and saying that. But you know, people like James, they think it's a lot cooler to do it by script. You know, so he's always gonna write a script to do that. That's James. All right, so the next thing down here, this is the bit of code that I think you guys will actually really enjoy. And I'm so used to being a trainer where I go on this part of the whiteboard, but you'll see up here that we've got a section that says that one, start a new PowerShell session. So this is the bit that goes off and tinkers with the Exchange behind the scenes and starts the, you know, the RMS stuff up. So that's quite cool. The next thing that happens down here, an actual fact, I'm going to fire that off. So just to show you it working. So it's going to ask me to sign in. Oh, this is where I should slow my typing down. Fingers crossed I don't get a sea of red about now. Oh, hey, that worked. So what that's actually just doing is it's telling you there that I'm redirected off into PowerShell into Outlook.com to go and manage stuff. And the only other thing that I'm going to do here is actually set this one up just to show you that there's confirmation that it's actually working, that my content will be protected. So I get a whole lot of feedback from this online session. And once that's done, I'll fire off this line here, and it's just going to show me the output showing that absolutely everything is safe as houses, and everything is managed, and life is peachy. How's that? All good? Yay! It's all been in place for a little while, actually. And there's the bit that tells you where I'm getting served up my rights management content from online. Okay, so you see the AP stands for Asia Pacific, right there. Now, for Rob, that now means that I can apply that also across to my SharePoint sites within SharePoint Online with Office 365. Just saying. Cool. You guys happy with that? It's all right, eh? Okay. So what does our end user see when once all that's happened? And I better actually just do one more thing. Better do that. Let's just run that line there. Not that I really need to, but I'm a bit pedantic about those things. Okay, so let's generate up a new mail message. And let's just wait for that to come up. Here we go. Okie doke. Now, this is the really cool thing. Now our end users, because we've trained them really well, can have this kind of stuff put onto their emails. Okay? So what I've done is I've generated up an email, I've gone into the ellipsis on the end of the message, I've come down to set permissions, do not forward. Excellent. So I'll send that off to me at Alt House. You're such an egg, and you can't tell your boss on me. Sent. That's all right, eh? No, that's the kind of stuff that staff don't want forwarded on. I can't believe you abused me. All right, so let's have a look at what happens when I receive the email here. And of course, this is going into my real live Hotmail. Oh, my flight's for the 14th. Yay. In a moment, there'll be an email coming through into here. While I'm waiting for that, let me just show you something that's actually really cool. In fact, I can't be bothered waiting for that. Here's two I prepared earlier. All right, so here's me sending myself that same abusive message earlier on. Aghast, horror, shock. I want to forward that to my boss and I can't. That's great, eh? So straight away, no forward, so you can't get strange email leaks in there. But I think, I'll beat you. I'm going to do this. What would be your go-to guys for taking a screenshot? Snipping tool, yay. OneNote, same deal. I'll show you in a second. Won't work, man. Watch this. There you go, new snipping tool. Straight away, that message is grayed out. Can't be seen. Everyone likes that? Good, next demo, Microsoft Word. I know what I'll do. Everyone knows this one because we've all written documentation. I'm going to go and get Word like this, and I'm going to go insert, and I'm going to come into, blimey, is it that one? It is, isn't it? I'm going to go for a screen clipping, and it's going to tell me the screenshot feature is disabled when IRM protected content is open. Close the IRM protected document or message before taking screen clippings. Who's in favor of that? Like, that's pretty bloody good, isn't it? So now you're going to be looking at some dude with a phone up to there going, look what he said about me. And now what I thought was going to be really useful, and I should have thought about this last week, and I didn't. The other one that I want to show you, I'll show you this one as well. I also set up another email address that said, I want that email to be visible only by people on the MalkyJMCT.nz website. And it says, you do not have permissions to open this message. So if you integrate this with Exchange, I've only done a little bit, right? But if you integrated this with Exchange and locked it onto your Exchange's outbound message rules, you get the idea, right? This could actually be very useful. No info leaks. And the one other thing that I thought might be useful is I thought, what's another way I could show you that? And that is to show you these two shots here. The one on the left was kindly taken by Daniel at lunchtime, where I tried to use the screenshots feature of my computer here. And if you have a look, up the top there it says, cannot capture protected content. How about that? So that's that lockdown. And I think that's a pretty cool thing to have in place. And on the right-hand side, that's the message that I also, that's the second message that you just saw before, but it can't display on the phone. It can only say who the recipients were. And if I'd logged on, and I just can't be bothered right now to do it, if I logged on as Brent, you'd actually be able to read that message. But Malcolm Jeffrey from Alt House can't read that Malcolm Jeffrey from Malky J NZ area. So what do you think of that? That's got to be pretty good, doesn't it? Everyone's in favour of that? Good. Demos have worked. Life is peachy. All right, so what I really want you guys to take out of that, and I'll just leave on that screen there for now, what I really want you to take out of that is that RMS isn't the biggest challenge to get right. You know, it's not as scary a technology as I have people tell me that they think it is, and that you should be able to go back to work and just apply it and have a look. If not, set up a couple of servers at work. Now, I'm quite surprised. I've come in and it's 2:45. It's about 10 minutes shy of the full time. So just be aware, it's not the hardest job in the world to go and set up. If I'd gone through and run the rest of my scripts in that cell, it still would have only added another couple of minutes work into what I'm doing for my 365. So as a quick show of hands, who are the 365 customers in here? And have you guys put on rights management yet? One has, yeah. So the others are thinking about it at this stage. So does that make it seem pretty easy and pretty tangible to do? Have an explore. If you're a bit shy of doing it on your own one, of course you've always got the Office 365 trials that you can set up, then you can have a mess around with those things. There are a few tweaks you need to do that. You've got, you know, you'll have my contact details soon enough, so you'll be able to, yeah, drop me a line if you get stuck with it. But I think it's just one of those things, I can't believe more businesses don't have it in place, and yeah. Well, there you go. That's kind of my presentation in a nutshell. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. There are a few other sessions here that you might like to go and have a look at. You know, Office 365 and Azure Active Directory Premium. I thought that session would be quite good because it shows you unlocking further features, and it also should expand out more on RMS because there are some more extended RMS features available through AD Premium. Also, a bit of a plug for myself and Daniel is that on Friday at 9 a.m. we're doing a Windows 10 Azure AD and Intune session, which is actually really, really cool. Just really cool. Daniel's nodding way at the back, but it's got some very cool stuff going on in there. And number three, which would be, I think is going to be another good one, which is tomorrow, is 101 ways to authenticate with Azure Active Directory. You know, the Cloud Active Directory, Azure Active Directory is not the AD that we used to know. It's completely different, so yeah. Cool, apart from that, there's further resources there. And the one thing I haven't chucked into this slide deck is my actual, all my details. So, let's just quickly whip up a notepad because that was a complete oversight. Yeah, and don't forget to evaluate your sessions as well as you go. So, just as a quickie here, easiest way to get a hold of me. That'll do. Let's make that a whole lot bigger. Make that stick this time. Alrighty. And also, as I say, the build information for this will be at if anybody wants to have a look at that as you go. Sorry about that not being in the actual slide there, but there you go. But thank you very much for coming along to my session. And yeah, get out there and start protecting your environments. Cool.